The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
The 11 best games of the year to crown one champion. Off we go with the playoffs. And Niall Davis will bring it out from 6 feet. Davis across the 15. Davis is gone! Niall Davis starts the playoffs with a bang! 106 yards! Touchdown, Chiefs! Empty backfield for 3rd and 8. Hoyer clutches, fires, that ball's intercepted. Is that Berry? Yes, it is. Aaron Berry. Jump by Ford was legal. It was knocked out and free. Alan Bailey knocked it out. It's pinned up against Ontari Poe of the Chiefs. And let's see what happens at the bottom of the pile. It belongs to Kansas City. Hoyer is scanning. Underneath, he threw a pick in the red zone to Josh Malga. 2nd and 9. Hoyer shot downfield. Nate Washington's overthrown. It's intercepted. That's a third pick of a half.
Brian just stood up there and took all the blame for making bad decisions. How bad do you feel for him today?
He's a grown man. I can't sit here and say I feel bad for a grown man. You learn in this football. You're going to make mistakes. I don't feel bad for him because I know he's going to move on and be a better player from this game.
Well, that was fun while it lasted. All 11 seconds of it. We shall discuss. There's a lot more, too. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And I'm guessing people are going to be in a little bit of a rough mood today. I will just say, for the record, we're more than happy to let you guys vent. Let's just try to be reasonable in our stuff. That means no Vince Young calls or anything like that, okay? Let's have reasonable discussion today about what happened.
I'm open to reasonable discussion.
Might want to turn your microphone on.
Yeah, my microphone is on. It says. Hmm.
Oh. Wrong mic.
My producer's in here recording, so I don't know exactly what's going on. Conveniently, priorities. We talked about this coming into the season, and this is about exactly what we could have expected this playoff run, quote fingers run, to go like. We knew going in they played in the worst division. They were the worst team that made the playoffs in the AFC. Whoever they ran into was going to be a better team than them. A lot of people thought that Kansas City was the most beatable of those teams. Hell, maybe they were the most beatable of those teams.
That's kind of scary, but I think maybe they were.
But Kansas City is a much better football team than the Texans. And anyone who doubted that is now, kind of going, well, maybe they are better. If you really thought that the differences between Alex Smith and Brian Hoyer were semantics, to kick back to one of last week's buzzwords, you don't know much about football. Alex Smith is a different type of quarterback than Brian Hoyer, and he's a good NFL quarterback. Brian Hoyer's a guy.
Let's not act like he was great. I mean, he wasn't that good on Saturday.
How many times did he give it away?
Once.
Okay, how many times did Brian Hoyer give it away?
That's you're comparing.
You're the one who always says turnovers is the most important
thing.
You had a guy who turned it over five times compared to a guy who turned it over once.
Well, let me finish, okay?
All right.
You already think you know what I'm going to say here, and you're completely freaking wrong. Brian Hoyer played one of the worst games yesterday in the history of the – or Saturday – in the history of the NFL playoffs. I mean, it was as bad as you could not have played any worse.
You're going to just stick to playoffs or in the history of the NFL?
I'll just stick to playoffs because, okay, let's face it, they also played the Titans. They played, right, teams like that. We saw Zach Mettenberger and guys like that.
It was a Mettenberger-esque.
It was. But the point is that I was going to make is that it's not like Alex Smith went out there and played like a Super Bowl champion quarterback. He overthrew a guy for an easy touchdown. He threw a bad pick. The Texans defense actually kept them in the game until late when they wore out and J.J. Watt was off the field. But that's the thing. That's all you needed from Brian Hoyer. That's all you needed to be competitive in that game.
Was what Alex Smith did.
Yeah, which is, you know, you weren't great. Just don't be historically awful. And, yeah, that's the thing. It's not like you can say, oh, well, Alex Smith is great. He wasn't. He had his mistakes, too. He didn't play very well.
But he was solid.
But he was solid enough.
17 of 22.
He was solid enough. And what did we talk about all week? Don't turn the ball over. Don't make mistakes. Protect the football. Play good defense. They played good defense. I mean, they really did. The last two drives at the end of the game, when Watt's off the field and they'd been on the field the entire time, I'm not giving them a full pass for that, but they kept them in the game when it mattered. When it got to be 20 to nothing, it's over because you know your offense isn't going to score any points. But the Hoyer was so awful. I mean, it's that simple. If you just go out there and don't screw up, you keep your team in the game. The fact that they're only down 13 nothing at the half with the way that guy played
was pretty amazing.
Was a miracle. Because, and again, I think the defense kept him in it, and it's not like the Chiefs were running away from him. And in the end, you know, I think the score looks a lot worse than the difference between those two teams, except when you have bad quarterback play, then this is what happens. And I mean, not just bad quarterback play, but historically awful quarterback play.
Yeah.
And what happened, I think Brian Hoyer is fine for the regular season. But you see it all the time. The playoffs, intensity goes up. Pressure goes up. Some guys do a really good job of rising to the challenge.
Brian Hoyer did not.
And he got worse and worse and worse. And so did Bill O'Brien. What the bleep was he doing with J.J. Watt on that stupid Dumbo package, as Jerome Solomon called it in his column, which, by the way, I thought Jerome's column on the game was terrific. If you haven't read it, you should. But
that on first down, by the way,
that sequence is when I said the game was over, because Alfred Blue gets you down there. He gets you a first down inside the five.
Yeah, you're finally running the ball for the first time all game.
And so on first down, you run that stupid play, and then you let Hoyer, who's just been awful, throw a pass, and of course it's picked off, and it's game over there. If you run the ball a couple times, see if he can get it in. He got you down there. Don't get gimmicky. That's a coaching panic just as much as Hoyer panicked on that pass. You get it to 13-7 there. Maybe the guy starts getting some confidence and keeps you and can move the ball without giving it to the other team. Maybe. But instead, you do that, you know it's in his head at that point. And that took them out of any possibility of winning the football game. That's on O'Brien. That's on Hoyer.
The call where Bill O'Brien runs the Wattcat, or whatever you want to call it, where J.J. Watt's getting direct snapped and there's nobody else that can get the ball except J.J. The best thing that could have happened would have been J.J. Watt would have fumbled there.
Yeah.
And then everyone would be saying Bill O'Brien's the biggest idiot ever, because that call, there's no good that can come from it. There's no good that can come from it. Other than you're like, it's a cutesy J.J. Watt scored a touchdown. If you just run the ball three times there, you score a touchdown anyway without trying to be cute.
Right.
Instead, you lose yardage. You back up a quarterback who's already struggling. You burn one of his downs, by the way, and then you ask him to throw. That play call is such a, we're in the Music City Bowl. You're a senior. We want to let our guys have some fun. That's such a college bowl game coach play call.
And it's even dumber than that to me, because the guy's dealing with a groin injury. And which apparently he's had for 6 weeks.
Well, yeah.
And you know, I you can see at times where he's limped off the field. I guess it's a groin injury. We haven't really been told exactly.
No, they did
say
a groin injury. And he also is just coming off a broken hand. Hey, guy that just had a broken hand and also walks around with a basically a robot elbow form, whatever that thing is, that brace that takes up your entire arm. Why don't you carry the ball and hold on to it? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
And, oh, by the way, maybe you get the guy hurt when, guess what, you need him on your defense because that's the only thing you've got going right. That play was just dumb. That call was dumb. That sequence was dumb. And we see this with O'Brien. There are times where he just turns into a village freaking idiot, and that was one of them. There's some other stuff he did. At the end of the first half, when he's calling timeouts when Kansas City has the ball, like he's going to get the ball back and score?
Yeah, when you haven't been able to move the ball at all.
Are you kidding? Get to halftime down 13-0. One thing you've done pretty well all year is make halftime adjustments.
Except
this time.
Not this time.
No, but just get to halftime, regroup, figure out what you're going to do. And that wound up not biting him, but boy, it sure could have. It was just stupid. I mean, that is the kind of stuff that over a course of a game adds up. Because if it's a 13-7 game there, and you know, it still doesn't matter if Hoyer doesn't come out of his shell and actually complete some passes and not look like a scared little bitch, but at least you're still in the game. You're a one score game at that point. And they have to play differently. You have to play differently. It starts getting in their head that, wow, we've outplayed the hell out of this team, and we're only up six. I'm not saying it would have changed it because I still think the Chiefs would have beat them, but you took yourself out of any opportunity there with that dumb collection of plays.
Well, I mean, Andy Reid's a better coach than Bill O'Brien.
He is.
And, I mean, Andy Reid's got skins on the wall. Andy Reid's coaching in the playoffs history is not great, but it was – it's good enough. Good enough today. Good enough for this weekend.
Well, and that's it. We didn't know what we were going to get out of Bill O'Brien in the playoffs. Now we do. We know he's going to go completely stupid, just like he does at certain points of the season.
I want to pat ourselves on the back because we said last week that two things, you know, in particular could be problematic for the Texans. One was Travis Kelce, who the Texans have had trouble with good tight ends all year, and Travis Kelce is quickly turning into one of the best tight ends.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a mini Gronk.
And it didn't matter who they put on him. I mean, they tried everything.
Yeah, Kareem Jackson, cornerbacks in general, that's not the answer.
No.
I'm sorry, it's just not the answer. And it's like it's like the teams who try to put a cornerback on Gronk. It doesn't work. You got to figure something out. Don't switch from Jackson to Johnson and think it's going to be a different result. It's not. And it wasn't. The other thing that we said was a really big difference between these two teams, and you know there were a lot of similarities coming into the game, and you know you could draw a lot of likenesses. The Chiefs' special teams,
we brought that up last week.
I mean, were a huge check mark in the Chiefs' column, and the first play of the game. I mean, the opening kickoff.
How did
it felt like? It felt like the game was over.
It did. It did. And what's worse about that? You had all week to prepare, and that was one of the worst coverages I've ever seen on a kickoff. There was nobody anywhere near him at any point. Once he got past the 10-yard line, it's like, where the hell? If you're kicking to the right side, don't you defend to the right side? That just
and they almost gave up a punt return touchdown, too. They got lucky that it wasn't a punt return touchdown. The special teams is just – I don't know what it is because it's not O'Brien special teams. It's not Kubiak special teams. It's Texan special teams.
Yeah.
And historically have been bad. And I don't know what can fix it. I don't. Maybe it's a curse on the franchise.
And,
but
yeah,
they're bad.
And Texter says that call, while stupid, didn't really matter. You still have three downs to punch it in, but Hoyer went full Hoyer. No, that whole sequence was stupid.
No, you have two downs to punch it in because on fourth down in a game like that, you're kicking a field goal.
Exactly.
But when you literally just light first down on fire, you can say Hoyer there. That's the one of his turnovers that I fault him the least for because, yeah, it was a bad throw into traffic, but they set him up to fail.
And why are you running that play after the other one? Just give the damn ball to Alfred Blue. What the bleep? Jeez.
It doesn't make sense. All right, let's talk to we're going to talk about this ad nauseum today, so worry not. We've got plenty of Texans talk. We'll take calls. We'll talk. We can even start talking about the future, guys. First, let's talk to Arby Theodi with DFC Interior Cleaning. Arby, how you doing, man?
Hey guys, good afternoon. Beautiful day. Yeah, it was bitter. I called the game 28-10 on the Outdoors XL show Saturday, just because I said these teams are so even, but they got a lot better coach and a lot better quarterback, and And that means it's hard to win. You got to have things break your way when you're going to be out coached and when you're going to be out quarterback. You know, if everything else is even and those two things are extreme, you know, that led to a very tough time beating them. And, you know, man, it seemed like we were down by 40 points. We're only down 13-0. You know, that was really remarkable. I kept on thinking in my brain, we got a chance. We got a chance. It's only 13-0. It should be 50-0. You know, so I don't know. Better luck next year. We'll get after it again next year. And the team did really good comparative to where we thought they were a lot of times this year. So it was a celebratory year. You know, I'm proud of the Texans this year. I had fun with them tailgating and stuff like that. So I still had a blast with them. And next year, maybe we can have even more fun.
Tell us what kind of specials you got going on at DFC.
Well, dirt-free carpet, 281-DIRT-FREE, dirtfreecarpet.com. Pick up the phone, dial the number right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Be one of the first 30 callers. You'll get 3 rooms of carpet cleaner for $100. But if you purchase tile, grout, leather drape, upholstery, air ducts, wool rugs, guys, we're giving away a $100 free speed dry with any purchase. We'll do it with no soaps, chemical residues. It'll blow your mind with the quality of the equipment, the power you're going to see when we come out to your home. Let us start in the worst area and impress you. A free $100 speed dry with any purchase. 281-DIRT-FRE, 281-347-8373, or go to dirtfreecarpet.com and let us get out there and do a perfect job for you.
All right, that's Arby Theodi with DFC. Appreciate the time, Arby. We'll talk to you next week, man.
Thanks, guys.
From the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN's your number. And you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick Clemson tonight.
All right.
I'm going to be bold. I may look stupid tomorrow, but I'm not afraid to look stupid. I'm not afraid to O'Brien it. Man, I felt kind of bad, though, because I guess it was Saturday. I saw the commercial for David Bowie's new album, and they were showing that video he did. And the first thing I said, man, that guy looks awful. And
man,
turns out...
I'm bummed about this.
I am, too. Have you seen that video, by the way, for Lazarus?
No.
It is chilling because he basically made art out of his death. And it was kind of his message to the fan, his goodbye to the fans. And it's really just, I mean, it is just fantastic and chilling at the same time.
Did you know David Bowie had cancer?
No.
I didn't either. Did anybody know?
No, I think he basically, and I think that's why he did this at last album, because he knew he was going to die. And, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a huge fan of his, but I respect the hell out of everything he's done. And, yeah, that hit me kind of hard, especially I really did feel bad because I was telling him, God, look how awful he looks. And it's like that. She goes, yeah, he hasn't aged well. And then a day later, he's gone. And you're like, oh, man, I feel bad now.
The beauty of David Bowie is he was a gay, snaggle-toothed, like generally an ugly dude.
Yep.
And then after about 5 years, everybody wanted to be David Bowie.
Yeah.
And nothing changed. He just changed people's perception of what was cool. And I'm a big David Bowie fan. I like him a lot. I was bummed to hear that news. He was ridiculously talented dude.
Incredible entertainer.
He's a good actor. He plays, I don't know how many instruments he plays, but he plays multiple instruments. Yeah.
Played.
He's also a pretty good artist. It's just I say artist in the mean like he painted.
Yeah.
But as in general, as like an artistic human, he was about as multifaceted as it could be, and just a really, really talented person.
And I like that he made no. He didn't care. He was himself. If he wanted to bang a guy, he was going to bang a guy. He was just he opened a lot of perceptions for people. And like I said, if you have not seen the video yet for Lazarus, I highly recommend you spend a few minutes watching it. It's just something you won't forget. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Let's blast through a few more phone calls, and then we'll start turning it towards the other games and some of the other stuff going on. Let's get Peter. What is up, Peter?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, Fred, I did see that video today. It was really chilling, very haunting, you know, so I can relate to what you were saying there. Real quickly, not to beat the dead horse on the J.J. Watt play, real quickly, I love your guys' show because I disagree with everything you guys say. So for me, it's worth listening to. But the play was not a dumb play. The play was first and goal at the 2. You lost a yard. Big deal. You had second and goal at the 3. That's not the play that lost you the game. The play that lost the game was the very next play, the interception, hands down. But that aside, that's a good segue into my point. A quarterback that's getting no run, no love that we're hearing about is Kevin Hogan from Stanford. What are you guys' thoughts about possibly going after him? He's probably going to be there at 22. And he's a guy that's probably going to be willing to sit for a couple of years, learn, and go from there. I'll let you guys comment on what you think.
To your first point, man, I appreciate you listening, even though you disagree. Losing the yardage on that led them to the second play where they passed the ball. So, yeah, they were both dumb calls. And I
don't know how I don't know how anyone can look at that call and say it wasn't a dumb call.
When everybody in the building, including the Chiefs defense, knew exactly where they were going.
Because there was nowhere else it could go.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a direct snap to a defensive end. It made zero sense.
And yes, they lost a yard against a defense they were really having trouble moving the ball against. And the next play was just as dumb. I mean, if you just run the ball on first down, if you want to bring that out on second down, okay. It's still dumb, but you know, we'll agree to disagree on that. As far as Hogan, he'll be available at 22. He'll be available in the second round, the third round. He's probably a fifth-round guy.
I know he's a fourth, fifth-round guy.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on how he grades out in the combine and things like that, but I like his size. He's 6'4". He's a big, strong kid. My least favorite thing about him is the ball comes out of his hand so slow.
Yeah.
It takes forever for him to let go of the football. I think there's some good things about him. I think it's hard to know what he really is because he's been playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the country his entire career.
In a run first team. And I think he's one of those guys, really good college quarterback, nice physical tools, but boy, that big windup when he's throwing the ball is a concern in the NFL. And I don't know that that's necessarily fixable.
He doesn't have the best arm.
For a guy that size, he doesn't have
his arm. His arm talent is probably lacking, and he's decently accurate, not super accurate. So he's a good player, but he's not a guy you take in the first round. He's not a guy who should be starting in the NFL next year.
Drunk Bevo, man, the Texans quarterback situation is so depressing. I just feel bad for the Texans fans, and I'm a Longhorn fan. It could be worse, Drunk Bevo. And Frobius asks, what do you guys dislike about Goff? My only concern about him is he's one of those air raid system guys, basically. And I've just seen I like his size. I like his release. He's got a nice arm. But he's also really slender, which if he fills out, great, but that concerns me a little bit.
He's barely over 200 pounds.
Yeah, because durability, man, that is so important. And we say it all the time. You look at the great quarterbacks, they're durable. They're out there all the time. And not everybody can be Ben Roethlisberger, who's just a hockey player. I mean, he gets beat up and he gets back out there. But most of these guys, if they stay healthy, then they put up numbers and they win. So you want durability. That concerns me about him, and the system concerns me. I like everything else I see, but we'll have to see how that works.
I think he moves around in the pocket a little more than you'd like. There's nobody, and it's rare that there's anybody who I'm not going to nitpick at, as far as especially with quarterbacks.
You have to.
But when you're talking about picking where Jared Goff's going to go,
you're going to have to trade up.
Five,
you're going to have to trade up to 4, 5,
and
8 somewhere in there.
I don't think the Texans are trading up that high.
Think about the cost. I think basically you're talking about your pick, maybe Jadeveon Clowney. You know, is it worth all that? I don't know. And guys, quit asking about A.J. McCarron. I'm getting like 10 texts about A.J. McCarron. They're not going to sell him for at least another year.
They have him. Next year, he will make – I just looked it up during this last break. Next year, he'll make $600,000. 2017, he'll make $620,000. Why would you trade him if you're the Bengals? Why would you trade him right now? There's zero incentive for that.
Yeah.
You know what they did, Fred? They found the value is what they did.
Yeah, I still go back to what we said at the time, which is they should have taken him when they took Tom Savage. But Bill says if he disagrees with everything you say, why does he care about what you think about Hogan? And
that's a good question.
And the question I would have for him is, oh, he's going to sit for 2 or 3 years and develop. Okay, who's your quarterback for the next 2 or 3 years then? And that's the question. I mean, you need to solve this now. And I don't have a lot of great ideas for this offseason for them to solve it. I've had them the last couple of years. They didn't listen. So, you know, I don't know what you do. I think you're better off trying to get a reclamation project and drafting somebody and hoping it works out. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, and somebody asked me SHRP on Friday. Yes, we will be out there Friday broadcasting live 4 to 7, and I will be out there Saturday 7 to 9, and I'll be giving away spots for that sometime in the next 45 minutes. We'll be giving those away, and we're going to have a free handicapping contest. Even if you don't win the spots, you can play in that. The winner gets a dinner for four at the Winner's Circle Restaurant, and I'm very excited about the Sam Houston meet. In fact, I just got my past performances for Friday, so I'll start handicapping. All right. Got to tell you, though, it's a new year. You guys all make these resolutions. How about you actually do something about it? Improve your health, your looks, your life. Lose weight faster and easier. No prepackaged meals, no gyms, and it costs less. That's the cue. And the cue can help you get that weight off. And I'll tell you what, man, I look at pictures of me from a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I'm embarrassed. How did I let myself get that way? And I tried to get the weight off. I worked really hard at it. Nothing worked. And I kept hurting myself. I tried to go to the gym, go to Quick Weight Loss, get the weight off, and now I'm in terrific shape. I'm working out like a fiend again, and I feel so much better about myself. And you know what? I'm going to live longer, because if I kept being that big, I wasn't going to last too long. Especially the way the rest of my lifestyle works. Quick Weight Loss can help you. If you're in that spot, man, and you're thinking, dude, I got to get some weight off, just give them a call. Results are guaranteed for 28 years. You can get 6 weeks for $66, all weight loss services included, and kids join free with parent enrollment. Some conditions do apply. For your free, no-obligation consultation, drop by one of their 15 Houston locations, visit quickweightlosscenter.com, or call 1-888-305-1117. That's 1-888-305-1117. Quick Weight Loss Center 1-888-305-1117.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. It's Monday at 5:30. Time for former Raiders and University of Houston cornerback Stanford Rout to join us. What's going on, Stanford?
Fellas, best time of the year. How y'all doing?
The best time of the year?
Yeah.
Dude, we're down to, I mean, if you want to count the college game tonight, we're down to 8 games that matter. And then what? What are we supposed to do?
But they matter. That's what makes it so great, is because they matter. Everything matters now.
This is a bittersweet time for me.
I already missed my all-day Saturday watching college football, all-day Sunday, flipping through all the NFL games.
I'm already dealing
with depression. I may have to go see a therapist.
Well, for me, once the football season comes to a close, that's when basketball season, to me, actually starts getting interesting, because in November and December, basketball is just getting going, so it really doesn't matter. And then right around the Super Bowl, that's next week, you have the All-Star, and then that's when the trade deadline comes in the NBA, and then that's when things start actually mattering and games start becoming meaningful, and then you get to April, and then that's when the playoffs come. So it just kind of just rolls over once again.
So your thoughts on that game Sunday, and I'm sure you've heard some of the stuff we've talked about, including the goofy play call, including Brian Hoyer just totally bleeping the bed. What were your thoughts on what you saw Saturday?
Guys, it pains me to really go here, but I'm just glad that we can finally get rid of finally be done with the charades of
pretending winning, it's a good team,
of winning the division and everything that comes along with that, because there's several holes on this team that need to be filled. That's obvious. And now that the game played out pretty much the way I thought it would, now that the makeup can come off and we can go ahead and end the charades. But to see my man JJ do a fullback plunge on the goal line like that, that was – I don't even know what that was about. He's a great athlete, great player. We all know that. But to see a direct snap to him, that was – it was comical. And the Chiefs were right on ready for it. It's almost like they scouted the Texans and they knew that going in.
Well, and we talked about this a little bit first hour, and as a guy who's played in the league, I'm sure you've seen it in games that matter, that a lot of times there's players who aren't up for the challenge who tend to panic, which we saw with Brian Hoyer yesterday, and coaches do the same thing. And
definitely, yes.
Why the hell are you not giving the ball to Alfred Blue a couple times down there? It just makes no sense to me.
Well, I think with the Texans' offense being the way it is, and it's so gimmicky, and they don't really have anything that they can rely on, like steak and potatoes rely on, outside of DeAndre Hopkins, you have to run trick plays, a reverse pass, anything, a flea flicker, things like that. You have to actually generate some type of offense, because other than DeAndre Hopkins, that's the only thing the Texans have that they know that, okay, we can count on this. The same way you can count on death and taxes every year. We can count on that. But outside of that, they don't have anybody they can count on. That's why I think that there's certain holes that got to be filled if you want to move forward going on with this team. And winning the division the way they did, obviously, it distorts that view a little bit. And it has makeup on what you otherwise would call a pig. And it's still a pig at the end of the day, but yeah, it looks better. And winning the division, going to the playoffs obviously helps, because I'd much rather go to the playoffs as a weak team and lose than not go to the playoffs at all. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I think that's where the trick plays and the B.J. Daniels wildcat and things like that come in, because there's nobody that they can rely on. Now, obviously, you got to remember Aaron Foster. He's on the shelf. We all know that. If he was healthy, I think it'd be a different story as far as the play calling. But I think that's where they are right now. But to your point, Fred, I don't really think that Hoyer wasn't up for the challenge. I think he was just, for the first time in a while, going against a good defense and going against some players that know how to play on defense. This ain't Jacksonville. This ain't Indy, and this damn sure ain't Tennessee.
Yeah, but that's...
And mind you, like I said, Kansas City got a good scheme over there.
No, they've got a great defense.
Good scheme,
they're playing as well as anyone.
All of that.
But you know what? You know how many turnovers they actually forced? One. When they pushed Chris Clark into him for the fumble.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them were user errors, man. Those were Brian Hoyer mistakes. That wasn't because the defense – he had time on two of those passes.
Yes, he did.
He was actually getting good protection, and he just threw crap passes. That's on him. And I'm the first one to credit the defense for making plays, and that's a great defense they got over there. But those interceptions, you know, my dog could have caught those balls.
Well, the one to Eric Berry, I think that was a good play by him. That's not something that every safety in the league will make. I'm not going to say that he's the only one who can make that play. I'm not going to go that far, but that was one of the better upper echelon type of quality players in the league at his position that are going to make that play. Because just watching the replay, number one, Nate Washington, he didn't finish off his route, and he didn't run his route with full intensity the way he should have to really, really go for that ball, and that's what led it to be what looked like to be a wide open type of interception the way it was. The one with Malga on the goal line, that was also, in my opinion, a good play, being a whole player, dropping back into coverage, reading the quarterback's eyes. I'm not going to sit up and say that their defense is the 85 Bears right now. But I'm also not going to sit up here and say that Hoyer just wasn't up for the challenge. Now, the one to Marcus Peters, now that's those are the types of drills you do at the combine in your shirts and shorts. He didn't have to do anything other than just simply catch the punt. the Marcus Peters one. The Sean Smith one, overthrown. We all see that. But the first two, I got to say that had a little bit with good scheme, good play calling, and just reading the quarterback's eyes and going for the ball. Well,
bad decisions, though, man. I mean, those were bad decisions. And
absolutely, but what I'm saying is I think that this is the same team that on Saturday, the same team we saw at 3 o'clock, if that was Jacksonville, Tennessee, Indy, the up-and-down New York Jets, or the call them whatever you want to call them, Cincinnati Bengals, they're winning that game on Saturday. It's the same exact team. Except you just had another team that used to be called the Dallas Texans back in the 60s that was on the other sideline other than those teams I just named. To me, that's how I saw it.
I think, in theory, yes, but you can stay close to a team like that if you protect the football. And
yes.
And yes, they got some pressure on him. They did the fumble. I'm not really going to blame him for, because they shoved his tackle into him and knocked the ball out. That's the defense making
yes.
a play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to disagree with you on the other two. Yeah, they had to catch the ball. He couldn't have made it any easier on either one
you're
of those
talking,
guys. A guy in a wheelchair could have rolled out there and caught either one of those passes.
You're talking about the one to Malga or the one to Eric Berry?
Yes, both of those.
Well, the one to Eric Berry, remember, he's playing deep middle field safety, and he's coming up, seeing Nate Washington about to break on this end cut on this dig route, and he's coming and robbing the play. Now, Nate Washington didn't finish off his route the way he was supposed to, from the way it looked to me, but for Eric to still get that pick rather than it just be a pass breakup or just an errant throw, that's where I give credit to the defense. And with Malga on that play, dropping back as a whole player, you still got to read the quarterback's eyes. Now, clearly.
No, you still got to catch the ball. And you could argue that the Jaguars wouldn't have caught the ball there.
And I'm saying this because I've seen Aaron Rodgers throw that same interception. I've seen Tom Brady throw that same interception. I've seen Drew Brees throw it. Hell, I know I've seen Peyton throw it. So that's where I come up with the fact that you still got to give some credit to the defense. Now, the one to Peters, the one to Sean Smith, those are just errant throws. We all know that. But the first two, I've seen the best guys in the league make those interceptions. But even then, I equate Saturday to being something like we used to always realize whenever we played San Diego. It was like surgery without anesthesia. The way the Chiefs out-coached, out-schemed, just out-manned the Texans on Saturday. That's what I saw. Surgery without anesthesia.
That sounds painful. I don't think I'm going to do that.
Trust me. Yeah. It's more painful to sit up there and know that it's happening to you in the second quarter and you're just ill-prepared and they're all the way prepared knowing your tendencies, everything you do. And once you get into the game plan's already been set. And the game plan that you've been working on all week is not even close to being successful.
On that note, some coaches fired today. The Texans have fired wide receivers coach Stan Hixon, defensive assistant Anthony Pleasant, and, no shock at all, special teams coach Bob Ligashevsky.
Mm-hmm.
You fire anybody else? I'm charge of the Texans.
Oh,
anybody else gone?
Y'all really putting me on the spot like this.
Yeah, let's hear it.
That's the job, brother.
Am I firing anybody else? I'd have to sit and mull about it for about a week, at least till Friday. I'd have to sit and do my due diligence, look at all the game tape, look at all the film, and then I'd probably have to go. You probably have to give me till Friday to answer that question. Because, I mean, you got to remember, it's still.
Did you say Rick Smith?
I would promote Rick Smith.
Yeah.
And
to a job where he's not the GM anymore?
Yeah.
I would do that too.
Yeah. I would keep him around and let him, you know, have some input and
right.
still gets to sit next to Bob McNair in the owner's box.
Right, head of concessions.
Yeah, but I would
choose what type of cheese they put on the nachos.
Still stand beside him on the sidelines.
Yeah, you can still
make him. Yeah, you can make him, you know, vice president of football operations or something, and that's just a nice way of saying, eh.
Well, see, fellas, it's so funny that you guys mentioned that, and I agree. Sometimes GMs get a bad rap for bad drafting and things like that, or signing bad players. But I think when it comes to drafting bad players or just not drafting good players, I think just as much of that goes into the coaches who don't coach up and prepare those players and put them in positions to make plays. So I'm a little torn when it comes to always blaming the GM or always blaming the coach. Like, I think it goes hand in hand. So in certain instances, it's hard for me to just place blame at just one guy. And also, if I'm going to get rid of the GM, I got to probably get rid of the head coach, because they're both one and the same. Even just like in Indianapolis, I think that my man, the owner of the Colts, Jim Irsay, I think he got to a point where he's like, I really don't know what to do, so I'm going to go ahead and sign both of them back, because it's just like they both come hand in hand. So if you go and you get rid of Gregson and you leave Chuck there, well, then Chuck may not really want to deal with this new GM that he has no alliance to, and vice versa. So it's almost like you either got to keep both of them or you got to send them both packing.
We'll agree to disagree on that one.
I get it.
Got to tell people about Gary Trichter.
Yeah. All right, guys. Got to tell you, you want to send off Stanford? You want to do the obligatory, hey, great having you. We'll talk to you next Monday. And
Yes, I will.
Fred's mad at you because you guys argued this whole time.
That's all right.
He never chimes in. The way.
When you guys get going, I just sit back and watch. I find it fascinating.
Well, as always, appreciate you coming on Stanford Route.
Yes, sir.
Former Raider, former UH Cougar, joins us every Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
I knew you were going to say that. All right, guys, got to tell you about Attorney Gary Trichter. Law enforcement, they're stepping up efforts with no refusal weekends. They can force you to take a blood test. So if your weekend sucked because of a DWI, don't despair. There's still hope, even if you failed the breath or blood test that police gave you. A lot of things about those tests you should know about, guys. Police breath test machines, most states have gone away from the machine in general. That destroys the evidence that it checks, making rechecking and proving your innocence impossible. And it makes temperature assumptions that create artificially high results. A lot of problems with that test. Same with the blood test. It's not like doctors on CSI. You know, these guys aren't medical doctors testing your blood. They're testing the air above your blood. It's a very indirect and circumstantial test for alcohol, and it can't even positively identify alcohol from other substances. That's where Attorney Gary Trichter comes in. He's a DWI specialist, one of only four board-certified DWI specialists in the state. And what that means is he's experienced in going to trial with these DWI cases and telling the truth about the police blood tests and the breath test and the science behind them to juries. Not a lot of guys are experienced in that. If you failed the breath or blood test, whether it's DWI or DUI, call Attorney Gary Trichter. Put his number on your cell phone now. It's 713-524-1010 or visit TexasDWILaw.com. That's 713-524-1010. For Gary Trichter.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. We're back on the Blitz. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great one. It's opening weekend for live thoroughbred racing at Sam Houston Race Park. The Blitz will broadcast live from the park from 4 until 7. It's 50-cent beer night and Military Appreciation Day. All military members can get in with a valid military ID. And we'll be out there until 7 o'clock. And as always, we'll have the tip sheet out there for you. I'll do picks on Examiner, so you'll have those. And we'll be out there 4 to 7. Then Saturday night, I'll be out there from 7 to 9, and we'll be doing a little handicapping contest. So make your plans to join us out at the racetrack, and I'm so excited about that. That's the one thing that keeps me from going insane when football starts winding down. Because I now have Sam Houston Race Park until May.
That's always good.
Yeah, and I love it. I'm so excited for this year's meet. And I have been watching a lot of races at Remington Park and Delta Downs over the last few weeks, because that's where most of these horses are going to come from to prepare for the meet. So I'm hoping to have another awesome meet and hoping to make the people some money and have some fun and drink 50-cent beer.
There you go.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, this isn't going to work the way I was hoping it would, because unfortunately I think everybody and their kid brother is using this website. I was going to, there's actually a website that is called supbowie.com, and it has what David Bowie did at your age. So I was going to type in all three of our ages so we could compare what he accomplished with what we did. But apparently the traffic on this thing is so ridiculous, it's really slow. So if you check it out, it's going to take a while. So your age has been loading for about 5 minutes.
Correct.
So the only one I have is mine. So this is what he did at age 51.
Okay.
He launched his own internet service provider, BowieNet. It included its own email accounts, forums, community blogs, interactive chat rooms, and first dibs on all Bowie-related content. Premium members could also pay to be the first in line for tickets, and he himself engaged with fans in the chat rooms.
Nice.
So that's what he did at 51. I still don't know what he did at 35. So, okay. Sorry, guys. I was gonna do it for you, but maybe it'll load faster for you, but it is ridiculously slow. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
I just wanted to honor the man a little bit. Matt asking, have you given your plays for tonight yet? I'm going to bet a small amount on Clemson. I kind of am leaning Clemson and over, which I know is sort of opposite of where most people are going in this game. But
you like the over?
I think if Clemson's...
Oh, yeah, if you like Clemson, you probably
do. Yeah, if Clemson's good enough to keep it close.
Which is rare, because normally if you like the over, you probably like the favorite.
Generally.
You know, if it's hard to bet an over when you like, or an under when you like the favorite, because you want to see them run away. But I kind of lean towards the under and the favorite. So, yeah, you and I on different sides, but that's all right.
Yeah. We're not on opposite sides too much. I think this weekend we were on pretty much the same stuff except for Green Bay.
Yeah. I didn't play very much this week. I hit the under on the first game, and I hit Cincinnati the second game, but missed. I had a portion on money line too, missed that. I didn't bet yesterday, so
I wound up. I played the under on Vikings Seahawks.
Yeah,
and I bet the Packers, but I didn't go crazy. They were pretty small. There were pretty small amounts in both cases.
We should probably go over the other games that happened this
weekend. We'll do that. We come back. We'll grab some more phone calls. We still got an hour to go, guys, so we'll get to you, I promise. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.